Hello, and welcome to Dark Glasses on CFRC 101.9. I'm Daniel Wolf, and today is the last show for January, and the second show in our series on jazz performances done at Carnegie Hall, and recordings made at Carnegie Hall, not necessarily in live performance. And we got a start on that last week, and we will continue on today. We will begin with some Duke Ellington. The Duke was at the height of his powers in the mid-1940s. It was, of course, the tail end of the big swing band era, and Duke Ellington would, of course, go on to many other things in the post swing era, making a big comeback at the Newport Jazz Festival in the late 50s, for instance. But what we're going to hear is from a double album released in 1977 called The Duke Ellington Carnegie Hall Concerts, December 1944. It is a two-disc collection. And from this album, let us give a listen to three dances: West Indian Dance, Creamy Brown, and Emancipation Celebration, live from Carnegie Hall in New York in December 1944.
And now, three dances. The first is the West Indian Dance. The second is Creamy Brown, the Sugar Hill Penthouse scene. And the last is the Emancipation Celebration, or Youth's Graceful Awkwardness.
Thank you.
That was Duke Ellington from Carnegie Hall in December 1944 and Three Dances, and that's from the 1977 release of the complete Carnegie Hall concert. And why am I featuring Carnegie Hall last week, this week, and next week? Well, if you tuned in last week, I mentioned that I had gone to Carnegie Hall along with my wife. It was a kind of birthday treat for her, but she was the one who came up with the idea of the Carnegie Hall visit, and it was a wonderful tour. We were conducted around the innards of Carnegie Hall by a docent called Stephen Morphy, and I apologize for not getting his name right last week, but I did write back to our other contacts at Carnegie Hall and got his name. So thank you very much, Stephen, for that fabulous tour. And then we went into the Rose Archives within the hall and met with Kathleen Sebogle, the chief archivist, and her colleague Rob Hudson, and they showed us all kinds of interesting stuff, album covers, posters of Carnegie Hall performances. We started talking about jazz, I mentioned the show, and we hit upon the idea that I would actually do two or three shows on some of just really great performances at this musical mecca. I always dreamed of getting to Carnegie Hall, thought when I was a kid it might have been as a violin player. I was pretty sure as an adult it wouldn't be as a saxophone player. As it turned out, it was as a tourist and jazz DJ. But I am very, very grateful for the tour that we had. And one of the interesting factoids we picked up from Stephen, who showed us around the auditorium and the halls and the corridors and so forth, is that when a renovation was done on Carnegie Hall some time back, it was made very plain that the renovation had to look distinctly different in its design from the old Carnegie Hall. And how you can tell a new bit of Carnegie Hall is a certain pattern of squares on the walls, on the floors, and so forth that designate that as part of the new addition and renovation. So pretty cool. So let's go back to some music now, and we'll go from 1944 and Duke Ellington to 1959 and Harry Belafonte. Born in Harlem, Harry Belafonte, who died just under 2 years ago, April of 2023, was just making his break in the late 50s. His album Calypso in 1956 is the very first album by a solo artist to sell a million copies. I didn't actually know that, so that's kind of neat. And he came from an American mother and a probably Martinican emigre father. And again, a very long career. He was an actor as well as a singer, of course. He's one of the few performers to receive an EGOT, which is a combination of getting an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, although that was in a non-competitive category, and a Tony. So, big name in performing arts all around. One of my favorite Belafonte turns in a movie is a film that really tackled U.S. racism called Odds Against Tomorrow, which he starred opposite Robert Ryan. Anyway, enough for me. Let's hear from Harry, and we're going to go to his concert from April of 1959, Belafonte at Carnegie Hall, the complete concert. Here he is with Jamaica Farewell.
As a small boy, I spent many, many years down in the West Indies. And of the many hours, of the many days, of the many weeks that I was there, I spent most of my time down at the docks, swimming with the other boys mainly, but also listening to the songs and the stories that the sailors used to sing and tell. Many of them I will never ever be able to repeat, but of the ones that I can always remember whenever the sailors were leaving for another island or for some far-off country, they would sing the Jamaica Farewell. Mm-hmm. Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Down at the market, you can hear ladies cry out while on their heads they bear. Ackee rice, salt fish are nice, and the rum is fine any time of year. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sounds of laughter everywhere, and the dancing girls swaying to and fro. I must declare my heart is there, though I've been from Maine to Mexico. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town.
Harry Belafonte from 1959, live at Carnegie Hall. Now, of course, Carnegie Hall is not simply a jazz venue. All kinds of music gets played there. A great deal of classical music, of course. Also, there is the occasional pop or rock and roll concert, too. And I'm going to play one in a moment from back in 1970, and I think that's going to be our Canadian content for today. And it's actually by Neil Young. Now, Neil Young in 1970 was just finished a couple of years previously from his time along with Stephen Stills in Buffalo Springfield. He was just about to hook up with Crosby, Stills, and Nash and become Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. He had had a big hit with them in Ohio, and he performed that song in 1970 at Carnegie Hall live. So we're going to hear that, and I'm going to immediately follow it with something that's a little odd and definitely not jazz, but I couldn't resist putting it on. And it's a comedian who I was not familiar with called Mike Rayburn, who's a guitarist slash comedian musician. And you will be interested that this is his version of Led Zeppelin playing Dr. Seuss. So first Neil Young, and then Mike Rayburn.
I have a 2-year-old son named Zachary and a 5-year-old daughter named Seneca. And I read to them. And I listen to classic rock. And one day I'm driving the minivan thinking, what if? This is Led Zeppelin. Sings Dr. Seuss. Thank you.
would not, could not with a fox. Green eggs and ham, green eggs and ham, green eggs, Sam,
my people. Yeah.
We just heard two very different non-jazz tracks performed at Carnegie Hall. The first was Neil Young's live performance of his hit Ohio, and if you're too young to remember what that song is about, it is about the Kent State massacre on the campus of Kent State University the summer of 1970, when National Guardsmen opened fire on student protesters, killing four of them. The second track we heard was from the comic and musician Mike Rayburn, and that's from a 2006 concert at Carnegie Hall, and it was his very short imitation of what would happen if you had Led Zeppelin singing Green Eggs and Ham. I thought it was kind of funny. We will close out with some more jazz for the first half of the show and go to some Count Basie. Last week, Count Basie came up in the context of playing one of his most famous compositions, the 1 o'clock jump, but not in the Count's version, in Benny Goodman's version. And Count Basie had a very long career. He lived from 1904 to 1984. One of his last concerts was in 1981, and that was at Carnegie Hall. And what we're going to hear is a track that's not from that recording, but from an amalgam compilation recording of many artists simply called Swinging at Carnegie Hall. And I wasn't able to get a date on this particular performance of The Count. His real name was William Basie, but The Count thing kind of stuck as a foil to the Duke, Duke Ellington. And here's Count Basie at Carnegie Hall with Swingin' the Blues. After that, we'll take our break and be back with more Dark Glasses on CFRC. We'll be right back.
This is Joseph Guido. I am CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence Project Intern. Do you love local music and supporting local arts? CFRC's annual funding drive is running until December 31st, and your gift is needed to help us provide local musicians with modern, top-of-the-line equipment, space, and technical support to better showcase their creativity on our airwaves all year round. Help us raise $25,000 this year. Make your gift today via cfrc.ca.
Domestic pets like dogs and cats are often left outside off-leash. These pets scare wildlife, destroy the nests of animals, and attack animals.
Always keep your pets on a leash when they are outside and discourage them from chasing wildlife.
This message was brought to you by the students of St. Marguerite Bourgeois Catholic School and Sandy Pines Wildlife Center.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Glasses on CFRC 101.9 from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. My name's Daniel Wolf, and this is the second part of a series on jazz performed and or recorded at Carnegie Hall in New York City, and builds upon a visit I made to the hall along with my wife back at the end of November. And we got a private tour of both the hall itself and the Rose Archives. So one of the things that occasionally happens at venues like Carnegie Hall is they will get two major acts together performing alongside each other. And so guests, that is to say ticket-paying, cash-paying concertgoers, will actually get a treat of having not one, but two jazz greats. I'm going to play two different combinations of artists, and we'll begin with a pair from the era of cool jazz in the late 50s and early 60s. And this is from a concert actually done as late as 1974. And the two individuals playing were part of a pianoless quartet originally. And one was the great baritone saxophonist. He also played lots of other reed instruments and the piano as well. Jerry Mulligan, who is one of those people really associated with not just cool jazz, but West Coast jazz. And this, of course, is something that came in on the tail end of bebop, just a little bit less, shall we say, energetic than bebop, back a little bit more to melody and less emphasis on elaborate chord progressions. Jerry Mulligan's one of my favorites. I happen to really like the baritone sax. And in this particular concert, he got together with his quartet mate, Chet Baker, who was both a trumpeter and a singer. Jerry Mulligan died in 1996. Chet Baker died in 1988. The circumstances of Chet Baker's death remain a matter of some controversy. He was found unresponsive on the ground, having apparently fallen out of his hotel window, and it's never been fully resolved what actually happened in that case. Both Jerry Mulligan and Chet Baker were long-standing drug users, had problems with alcohol as well, and I think both actually did some time. But both great artists, and here we're going to hear both of them in a composition called Song for Strayhorn, which is, of course, for Billy Strayhorn, the great lyricist and composer-arranger who worked for many, many, many years with Duke Ellington, was responsible for some of Duke Ellington's greatest hits, including Take the A Train, or as we call it in our house, Take a Train. So here's Jerry Mulligan and Chet Baker from Carnegie Hall and Song for Strayhorn.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chet Baker and Jerry Mulligan with Song for Strayhorn from Carnegie Hall. And let's continue on by me mentioning something that came up during the halftime break. And that is, of course, the funding drive. Normally, our funding drive is only in November and December, but thanks to a Canada Revenue decision to keep issuing tax receipts right through to the end of February this year, we are extending the funding drive to the end of February. And if you have given already, we are very grateful for that contribution. If you haven't, please consider going to either the CFRC website and clicking through to the Queen's website, or going directly to the queensuniversity.ca website and its advancement page where you can make your donation. Every little bit helps keep programs such as this on the air. So back to some music now, and I promise you that there would be a second combo act following the one we just played with Jerry Mulligan and Chet Baker. So we're going to go back a little bit earlier, and this is to two greats of the swing era, both drummers, two of the probably most prominent drummers of the mid part of the 20th century. And one of them, in fact, was my late father-in-law's favorite drummer. My late father-in-law was himself an amateur drummer. And that is Buddy Rich. And my father-in-law, Ross, really admired particularly Buddy Rich's brushwork. What we're going to hear here is something literally called the drum battle. And it's a drum-off with Buddy Rich versus that other great swing-era drummer, Gene Krupa. And Gene Krupa, very well known for his work, particularly Drum Boogie, is probably his best-known track. Here we'll have him and Buddy Rich from Carnegie Hall in 1952 with Idaho. Thank you. was Idaho with Buddy Rich versus Gene Krupa from a recording at Carnegie Hall from 1952 and titled The Drum Battle. Now we've got time for one more track, so let's go up to 1961 and Judy Garland. Judy Garland, of course, famous as a child actor from The Wizard of Oz, but had not enormously long career. She had a rather unhappy life, several marriages and so forth, problems with her weight and drugs to maintain her weight, problems with alcohol, but a lovely voice. And in 1961, she was in one of her comeback periods. She was just about, I think, to perform in one of her later acting roles in Judgment at Nuremberg. And in this concert at Carnegie Hall from, again, 1961, she performs the track Stormy Weather. Judy Garland.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Together, I'm weary all the time. The time, so weary all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, oh, rocking chair will get me.
Judy Garland and Stormy Weather from Carnegie Hall in 1961. That will be it for today, but I hope you'll come back next week for part three of our Jazz at Carnegie Hall series, and I am beginning to think I might have to stretch this to a fourth show, because I'm not getting through the stuff I wanted to play nearly as quickly as I thought, because there's just so much of it, and some of the tracks are really long, and it's just really interesting to talk about it. So we'll be back for part three next week. I want, again, to thank our docent, Stephen Morvey, for showing my wife and I around Carnegie Hall in November, and the Rose Archive folks, Kathleen Sebogle and Rob Hudson, for their little private tour of the archives where we saw these wonderful posters of the performances at Carnegie Hall. You've been listening to Dark Glasses on CFRC 101.9. My name's Daniel Wolf. Be back next week at the same time. Meantime, we are still in the depths of winter, and that means you need to keep warm. bundle up, and above all, stay safe. Don't you blame the guy in shades, oh no. The guy in shades, the guy in shades, oh no. Don't masquerade with the guy in shades, oh no. We can't believe it. You got it made with the guy in shades, oh no.
Morning, students. Question. If Queens doesn't offer its workers a fair contract by February 3rd, who will be affected?